الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أولم نعمركم ما يتذكر فيه من تذكر وجاءكم النذير صدق الله العظيم.
My most respected brothers and elders, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in al hadith, he has mentioned, أَعْمَارُ أُمَّتِي مَا بَيْنَ سِتِّينَ وَسِبْعِينَ. The average lifespan, of an ummati, of this ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, generally is between 60 to 70 years. وَقَلَّ مَنْ يَجُوزُ ذَلِكَ. Rasul said, very few really go beyond that. And that is why many times when a person passes away at the age of 80, 90, people see he had a good innings, he had a long life. So generally, not to say people can't pass away before 60, but the average lifespan of an ummati ranges between 60 to 70 years. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, who is the best of people? So in this particular incident he mentions, man tala umruhu wa hasuna amaluhu. That person who has a long lifespan, and during that lifespan he does good actions. So having a long life with doing good actions, then you regard it as the best of people, khayrun nas. And the converse of that, who is sharrun nas, the worst of people, is that person who has a long life, but during that long life of his, he fails to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His actions are not good. He does evil actions. So he is regarded as sharrun nas. May Allah ta'ala make us from khayrun nas. There were two people who were brothers. Brothers as far as deen is concerned, which is termed as muakhat. When Rasulullah came to Medina, then he prayed the sahaba, today you are his brother, he is your brother. So there were two such brothers. One passed away as a martyr, as a shaheed. Can you imagine the rank and status of a shaheed? It's extremely high. The other brother passes away bijumu'atin aw nahwiha, after a week, after more than a week. So somebody, Rasulullah asked the sahaba, what did you say, what dua did you make? So we said, we made dua, Allahumma ghfir lahu warhamhu, wallah forgive him, have mercy upon him, and make him reach the maqam and rank of his brother who passed away as a shaheed. Rasulullah said, فَأَيْنَ صَلَاتُهُ وَأَيْنَ صِيَامُهُ وَأَيْنَ زَكَاتُهُ إِلَى آخِرِ الْحَدِيثِ. This brother who passed away after the first brother, even though he had just 1 week's extra lifespan, or more than a week, during that time, what about his salat that he did? What about his fasting? What about his zakat? What about his sadaqah he may have taken? What about those actions he may have done during that week which pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such an extent that gave him already a rank like his brother who passed away as a martyr? What do we understand from this hadith? That the life we have, the number of years, months, days, this is very precious. And we have to make, or we have to have a good value, and make good value of these lifespans that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has afforded us. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, the great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he should express his regret. He says, مَا نَدِمْتُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ نَدَمِي. I've never regretted upon the loss of anything, like how I feel regarding that day. غَرَبَتْ شَمْسُهُ. The day whose sun has set, it's already evening, it's Maghrib time, the day is over. وَنَقَسَ فِيهِ أَجْلِي. My lifespan now has decreased. I'm going closer to mort. وَمَا زَادَ عَمَلِي. But my action, good action, has not increased. These are lessons for us. The day goes by. Have we lamented upon the loss of this day in which we did not do those deeds in which we could score great marks, points, sawab, blessings in the hereafter? When Rajab commenced, then you would have heard the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan, taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us barakah in Rajab and Sha'ban and make us reach Ramadan. We all say ameen to this. What is the meaning of barakah in Rajab and Sha'ban? Are we talking about material barakah? No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is already drawing our attention to the fact that we are now, we have commenced preparing for the auspicious month of Ramadan. Any student who is writing matric examination never starts learning the night before his exams. Well in advance. Well in advance he begins to prepare. And very commonly when you have nikahs, people prepare long in advance. In our business practices also, in our factories and workplaces, when we have some important event taking place, a sale, long in advance we make sure all the goods are there. So Ramadan commences not on the first day when Ramadan begins, when the moon is sighted. In reality, if you really look at the Salaf al-Salihin, they would prepare 6 months ahead. We are weak people. So at least start preparing for the month of Ramadan from now. Two important things. Start making tawbah istighfar. And let us try to begin restraining our nafs from all those evil temptations. So that when Ramadan commences, we don't have this battle with our nafs and egos. It's not difficult for us to refrain from haram. And in fact halal during the day whilst we are fasting. It becomes second nature to us. It becomes easy for us. Then we will relish every moment of Ramadan. Then we will gain from the barakat of Ramadan. Otherwise, as we mentioned every year, Ramadan comes and it goes by. And then we begin to regret and lament that this month came so fast and it went away. Already the women folk at home, I'm sure almost every single home, the women have already commenced preparing the savories for the month of Ramadan. Ordering their savories, whatever it may be. Therefore, respected brothers and elders, these 2 months are such that we should start inculcating in us taqwa. We should start developing the love for Quran and Majeed, start reciting Quran and Majeed. Come early to the for Salah, if you have time before Salah or after Salah. Start opening the Quran and reciting the Quran so the month of Ramadan dawns. We've already got a start, a kickstart, as we say. It doesn't happen that first 10 days go by or half the month goes by and then now we start fumbling and now we're starting to begin, starting our khatam and the month of Ramadan goes by and we have not completed one khatam even. I wish to explain a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam today, inshallah, pertaining to what we are discussing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the Sahaba and he said, مَنْ يَأْخُذُ عَنِّي هَؤُلَاءِ الْكَلِمَاتِ فَيَعْمَلُ بِهِنَّ أَوْ يُعَلِّمُ مَنْ يَعْمَلُ بِهِنَّ. who is prepared to take these advices from me and practice upon what I am saying? Or at least he will teach it to somebody else who will be prepared to practice on this. The commentators of the hadith, the shura, write, المقصود الأصلي من العلم هو العمل. The very primary objective of seeking knowledge is to bring that into practice. مَنْ يَأْخُذُ عَنِّي هَؤُلَاءِ الْكَلِمَاتِ فَيَعْمَلُ بِهِنَّ. Who will take these advices and practice upon these advices? If a person does not have the capability to practice upon these advices, at least then teach it to somebody else who will practice upon it. You will also share in the reward. الدال على خير كفاعله. If you indicate or you show some person the good way or some good deed, and as long as he practices the deed, you will also incur and you will also accrue this reward for it. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, the great Sahabi of Rasulullah, immediately he stands up and he says, Ya Rasul, I will do so. I will learn these advices. I will learn it and I will practice upon it. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, just very briefly, he was that great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose name was, according to most of the ulama, Abdul Rahman. Prior to Islam, he was known as Abdul Shams. Rasulullah gave the name Abdul Rahman. He only accepted Islam 7th year after Rasulullah migrated from Mecca to Medina. Despite this fact that he only accepted Islam at such a late stage in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he adhered to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He clung unto Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever Rasulullah spoke, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, as a student of deen, was ready to imbibe in his heart. And he would memorize the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hence he is, of all the Sahaba, recorded as having to be narrating the most amount of hadith, 5,374 hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would say that, I would remain hungry. Whatever food my master would give me, that is the only thing I would satiate myself with, and I would just be content. But my important aim was to gain from the treasures of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He even experienced an occasion when he had actually fallen down, collapsed because of the spasms of hunger that he was facing. And then he pretended to pose a question to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, whom he saw coming towards his way. He knew the answer, he just pretended as though he does not know the answer, he posed the question. And with this hope that perhaps Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu will see him and see his condition and then give him something to eat. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went past, he asked a question and he gave the answer. Probably he was busy and he was rushing, so he continued. It is the same thing we see Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And the same thing happens to him when the Rasul sees him. And he calls him Aba Hir. He was known as Abu Huraira because one day Rasul came out from the masjid and he saw a kitten in the sleeve of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. And from that day he kept his name Abu Huraira or Aba Hir. And he says, come here. Somebody had given a bowl of milk to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a gift, as a hadiyah. So he says, take this bowl and call, call the people of Sufah. People of Sufah were those Sahaba who had no place to stay, no shelter, they had no food. And they would live on this platform, Rasulullah would keep them there, whatever food he would get, he would give them. At the moment they had sufficient means to fend for their own, then they would continue, they would not remain there. So you would get approximately 70 plus Sahaba from Ashab Sufah at one given time on the platform. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu thinks to himself, I must call Ashab Sufa. I am starving. If only Rasul tells me to drink this milk. Nonetheless, he goes, the commander of Rasul, he calls Ashab Sufa. They come in, they take permission, they make salam, they take permission, they come. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu is instructed by Rasul, now feed each one. Each one drinks from that bowl of milk. Now, having no hopes that he will get anything, he passes over the milk, whatever is remaining, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi says, no, 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 you drink. فَقَعَدَ فَشَرِبَ He sat, he drank. He was satisfied. Nabi said, no, 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 drink more. Ishrab. He drinks again. He's full. Nabi says, again for the third time, Ishrab, drink again. He drinks again to his full. Now he says, Ya Rasulullah, ma ajidu lahu maslakan. I don't find, ma ajidu li maslakan. I don't find any way. I've got no space, no place in my stomach to drink anymore. And then he hands over the bowl to Rasulullah sallam, and then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drinks from the remaining of that milk. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu says, when he accepted Iman, and he would try desperately giving dawah to his mother to accept Islam, but she would refuse. And one particular morning, she said some very abusive words, insulting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he could not take it. He comes crying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this would happen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifts his hand, makes a dua. He makes dua for the hidayat of the mother of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, okay, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, in case he's living. He goes back home, immediately after this. He says, I barely reached home, and when I reached there, I could hear my mother taking a whistle, so I saw permission, and when she was finished, and she allowed me to enter. And the moment I entered, she recited the kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadin Rasulullah. He says, the tears that I shed, because I was so angry and disappointed, now changed to tears of joy and happiness, I could not understand. I barely even reach home and the dua of Rasulullah is accepted on behalf of my mother. And Nabi said, made a special dua for Sayyidina Abu Huraira and his mother. Allah, make them beloved to my ummah. Make them beloved to my ummah. In any case, that's not my topic today. But this Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu stands up and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I will take these advices and I will practice upon it. Or at least I will teach it to somebody else who will practice upon it. The very first advice, there are five advices and we should try and learn these advices and inculcate these important aspects which Rasulullah found it so important to address the Sahaba in this way. Various advices he gave in his life this particular occasion. And this is narrated by Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi in his Musnad and Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi also mentioned this hadith. اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ Which one of us does not want to be the greatest abid worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When Allah gives you a title that you are a true abid, you are really making my ibadah. What a great honor. And if we have to say the word abid, making ibadah, the very first thing comes to any person's mind is that probably this person is making tahajjud the whole day, a whole night, and he's reading all his salat and nafil, and he's giving sadaqat, and he's fasting the whole day. And he's doing all those acts of ibadat, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is part of ibadah. Sayyidina Umar ibn Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that an abid is not one who fasts the whole day and reads tahajjud the whole night. A real worshipper, real muttaqi person is that person who, of course, after doing his fara'id, he does nafil, but he exerts himself in refraining from all those things that Allah has made haram upon him. He's not such that MashaAllah, he is excelling in his salat and his nafil sadaqat, but he usurps the properties of people. He devours the wealth of the orphans and the yatim and the widows. And he cheats the customers when they come to him. And he's abusive and vulgar to his family members. And he abuses the right of his wife and he disobeys his parents. And he is not a muttaqi person. Rasulullah said, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ If you refrain from all the prohibitions of Allah, you will be regarded as the greatest of the worshippers of Allah. In one hadith, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ Wherever you are, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever you are. You make a mistake, we all human beings, immediately follow that mistake, that evil, that sayyah with a good deed. وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا The good deed will efface that bad deed. وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ And meet the people with good character. There was a person who managed to entice a slave girl. And she's standing, she's in his presence. And now he wants to satisfy his desire. He's all alone with her in a room. And she tells him that, but aren't we being watched? So he sees, La yarama illa kawkab as-sama. Who's watching us? It's the stars in the sky. It's the stars in the sky. He said, فَأَيْنَ مُكَوْكِبُهَا فَأَيْنَ مُكَوْكِبُهَا Where's that God and that being who created the stars? Where's Allah? Immediately he refrains, he realized. Now this is taqwa. When a person is tempted to do that evil, at that time, you bring in the consciousness of Allah subhanahu. Allah Ta'ala is watching me. Allah Ta'ala is watching me. Rasul gave advice to Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu. He's a youngster, young boy. And he's mounted on the same conveyance as Rasulullah said. So lengthy hadith, which is the first two parts. Ihfadillah yahfadka. Ihfadillah tajidu tudahak. Protect the commands of Allah. Obey the commandments of Allah. The shura explain. In other words, do all the things Allah has commanded you to do and refrain from all the things Allah has prohibited you from. Stay away from that. Then you have protected the deen of Allah and Allah will protect you. Then you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever you require Allah ta'ala. You'll find him in front of you. He will be there to assist you. So, ittaqil maharim takun abadan nas. Protect yourself from all those things that Allah has made haram. You will be regarded as the greatest of worshippers. And then Rasulullah says, warza bima qasam Allahu lak takun ahran nas. Be content with whatever Allah has allotted for you. Whatever Allah has distributed for you as far as the dunya is concerned. Be content. Don't be greedy, don't moan, don't groan, don't complain against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be content, have qana'ah. Tuba liman hudiya ila al-islam. Wa ruziqa wa'ishuhu kafafan wa qani'ah. Rasulullah says, glad tidings be to that person who's been given hidayah to Islam. And he's been given sufficient nourishment, sustenance. And he is content. In another hadith, Rasulullah says, qad aflaha man aslama. Most certainly successful, kamyab is that person who has brought Islam. He submitted to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ruziqa kafafan. And he's been given sufficient amount of rozi to live. Wa qanna'ahu Allah bima atahu. And Allah gives him qana'at and contentment with whatever Allah has provided for him. So this hadith teaches us also to have qana'at in us. To be content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Because the time is running out, I'm just going to be brief. The third advice Rasulullah gives him, he says, وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَىٰ جَارِكَ تَكُنْ مُؤْمِنًا. Be kind to your neighbor, then you are regarded to be a true believer. The commentators, the shura explain, that a person's iman is not complete. There is deficiency in his iman. If he does not, he's not kind to his neighbor. Rasulullah says, مَا زَالَ جِبْرِيلُ يُنْصِيرِ بِالْجَارِ حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ سَيُوَرِّثُهُ. Once Jibreel came to me, alayhi salatu wasalam, and began advising me, and educating me, regarding the rights of my neighbor, and you must be so kind, you must give him this, and share this, and share that, and share that, to such an extent that I felt just now, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will tell me, Jibreel will tell me, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that your neighbor will even gain from your inheritance. That is not the case, but the extent to what Rasulullah explained the rights of the neighbor. And therefore in one hadith, Rasulullah mentions that when you cook gravy, then add some water to it, so that wata'ahat jiranak, and you are concerned about your neighbor. Perhaps your neighbor doesn't have sufficient food, you've got some gravy, add a little bit more water to it, make it more, and also send to your neighbor. Rasulullah mentions, لَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنُ. A person is not a true believer. الَّذِي يَشْبَعُ. Who satisfied, he satiated, he had the stomach full. وَجَارُهُ جَائِعٌ إِلَىٰ جَنْبِهِ. But his neighbor is hungry on his side. Hence, in one hadith, Rasulullah says, وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنُ. By Allah, Rasulullah is taking the qasam. By Allah, such a person does not have iman. لَا يُؤْمِنُ. Three times he said this. Sahabas, man hum ya, man huwa ya Rasulullah, who is it? Nabi وَوَعِقَهُ. That person does not have true iman whose neighbor is not free from his evil, whose neighbor is not free from his mischief and his fitna. Bawa'iq means ghawail, which means evil, mischief. Sayyidina Abu, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi was selling his house, the neighbor was selling his house. The neighbor of Imam Abu Hanifa was a Jew. And the market value of the price was a certain amount, but he was asking for double. People asked him, what is wrong with you? This is the price that it's going for. He says, yes, that's the market price for my house and that's what I want. But to be the neighbor of Abu Hanifa, you would pay double the price. Can anybody say that for us? When we say good riddance, mashallah, shukr has gone from here. This is akhlaq, this is what Rasulullah is teaching us. And then Rasulullah says that love for the people, what hadith? Love for the Muslim brother, what you love for yourself. وَحِبَّ لِلنَّاسِ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ. Love for yourself. What do we love for ourselves? We love to become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have a strong iman. We should desire this for every single person who is ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then nobody wants to be belittled. Nobody wants to be ignored. Nobody wants to be ridiculed and mocked, cheated, deceived. So we should also love for a Muslim brother what we love for ourselves. In one hadith, Rasulullah says, "Man nafasa an mu'minin kurbatan min kurabi dunya, nafasa Allahu anhu kurbatan min kurabi yawm al-qiyamah." That person who removes any problem of his Muslim brother which is suffering in this world, he feels pity for him, he removes the difficulty for him, he comes to his assistance, Allah will remove the difficulty of the difficulties of qiyamah for him. وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. You conceal the fault of your Muslim brother in this world. You saw him doing something wrong. You don't go and reveal it to the people. You don't go put it on the social media and belittle him. You cover his fault. Allah will cover your fault on the day of Qiyamah. He gives preference to his Muslim brother. Jarir bin Abdullah al-Bajri radiallahu anhu, who is a great Sahabi, who is known as Yusuf al-Hadi al-Ummah. So handsome he was. He tells his servant to purchase an animal as a horse for him. He purchases the animal for about 200 dirhams. Jarir asks him, what did you pay? You and I will also ask, how much you paid for it? But look at the difference between our questioning our person who we sent, our agent, and look at Jarir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu. When he stole 200, we would say, it's very good. You couldn't get it cheaper. Jarir bin Abdullah says, you paid only 200? Take me back to the person who sold you. We just said, I need to speak to him. He needs to get more money from me. He goes, long story, he offers him more, 300, he's happy, then 400, right till 800 dirhams. You make the calculation from 200 to 800 dirhams. And he comes, the people ask him, are you going crazy, you paid so much? He says, no, I'm not crazy. بَايَعْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. When I pledge allegiance to my Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عَلَىٰ إِقَامِ السَّلَاةِ وَإِتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ وَالنُّسْحِ لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمِ. When I took bayah to Rasulullah, I promise I will establish salah, I will discharge my zakat, and I will be a true well-wisher of my Muslim brother. He deserved more money, therefore I went back to him. There are so many other incidents of this nature. Says in Aisha radiallahu anha, she's fasting, she's got nothing besides one day to open her roza, and suddenly somebody comes, a beggar, and she tells it, her servant, give it to her. Preference to the next person. The Sahabi is passing away and he is thirsty. Atash, atash, somebody brings water. Before he can take a sip of his water, the man next to him is dying, also passing away, asking for water. Atash, atash, I'm thirsty. Immediately he gives, passes the water over to him. And when he gets the water, the third person, the same thing, the fourth person, by the time the water reaches, each person passes away. When he came to the first person, he was also, he became the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, Rasul says, وَلَا تُكْسِرِ الدِّشْكَ. Don't laugh excessively. فَإِنَّهُ تُمِيتُ الْقَلْبِ. It kills the spirituality of the heart. Sahaba was seated once, Rasul enters, and they were laughing. Nabiya Kareem some tells them, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمْ لَضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَضَحِكْتُمْ كَثِيرًا. Oh my Sahaba, if you only knew what I know about Akhirat, about Qabr, Hashr, Jahannam, then you will laugh less, you will cry So Abba put the head down and they could hear the sobbing. Every sahabi began to sob and cry. Allah says, فَلْيَضْحَكُوا قَلِيلًا وَلْيَبْكُوا كَثِيرًا, that they should laugh less and cry more. Cry out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in essence, these are the five advices that Rasulullah gave to Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Allah ta'ala gave us tawfiq to make amal, or at least pass it on to somebody else who will make amal. وَآخِرُ دَوَانَا أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.